You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
What's up, everybody, and welcome back to another episode of Straight Up Sabres, presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and the Charging Buffalo. As always, I'm Brendan.
And I'm Taylor.
And folks, the 2023-2024 Buffalo Sabres season has come to an end, and Don Granato is their coach no more. The Sabres finished this season with 84 points off a 39-37-6 record, which landed them third last in the Atlantic Division ahead of Montreal and Ottawa. This year was a major step back for the Sabres, who finished last season with 91 points and were just 1 point shy of the final wild card spot in the 22-23 playoff race. As we unfortunately are all aware, this season extended the Sabres' NHL record playoff drought to 13 seasons. Granato was fired on Tuesday and ends his Sabres tenure with a record of 122, 125, and 27 in 274 regular season games over four seasons after being hired on March 17th of 2021 to replace Ralph Kruger. At the time of his firing, Granato was the sixth longest tenured coach in the NHL. His undoing was the Sabres' power play taking a massive step back in 23-24, along with his consistent inability to adapt his in-game strategies. While the Sabres' 5-on-5 offense suffered some minor setbacks, the real damage can be seen through their power play dropping from 9th to 28th and dropping from 3rd to 22nd in goals per game. After many stars took major steps forward last year, none of those players were able to match their output from the year prior, with the most concerning being Dylan Cousins, whose game fell off a cliff this year. Taylor, so we have a lot to discuss here today, including Granato's tenure, our head coaching options moving forward, Adam's end of year remarks, locker room cleanout, and so much more. But let's start off with Granato. He undeniably, I think, should be commended for helping undo the Ralph Kruger effect and helping with the development of some of the young players. But the negatives were just too glaring, and it never quite felt like he was going to be the guy to take this team to the next level. So give me your thoughts on Granato's firing and his tenure as head coach of the Sabres.
Well, I think it's when it's all said and done in many years, and Granato's moved on and maybe even retired and the Sabres over, I hope at least we can look back at Granato as a positive figure. I think it's pretty clear that he was good at some things, and I think it's becoming even more clear, especially with the locker cleanout today, that there's other things he was not so good at. Starting at the beginning, obviously he's coached mostly juniors, college, AHL. He's never been an NHL head coach before. He had to take over for Ralph Kruger kind of suddenly. And I think immediately you saw the things he was good at. You saw that he was a guy that understood players, at least tried to understand them, that guy get along with them, listen to them, didn't treat them like children, kind of the way it seemed like Ralph Kruger did sometimes. And I think what you saw with him especially was that he saw what made guys good and how he can make them better, especially with young guys. And I think that's part of the reason why Don Lane really found himself under him. You saw Tage take off under him. His idea to move Tage to center, that paid dividends. Jeff Skinner refined his game, at least for a little while. You saw all that happen under him, which I think it wasn't a coincidence. And there's, you know, Casey Middlestad and other guys too. What it's clear that he wasn't as good at was being an NHL head coach. Even from last year, every big game, it seemed like he got out coached. We've said this a million times. The power play being bad is on his assistants. He didn't take the action to change anything during the season with that, Matt Ellis or anyone else. They're always bad at 6-on-5. They're bad situationally. They were bad opening games. And all that led to them having a worse record than they should have. And I'm not even I'm not blaming anyone's regression on him, really, even. The number of guys who took big step back statistically this year, I'm not going to blame that on him. But it's clear that all those other things were his fault. And that maybe he's the guy that gets you from the place where you're in hell in 2021, losing a million games in a row and all these problems with Kruger. Maybe he's the guy that takes you from there to the doorstep of the playoffs. And the next guy has to be the guy that, you know, busts through that door and gets the Sabres into the playoffs.
Well, Taylor, let's talk a little bit more about what could be next for Granato. So, of course, now he is on the market. I believe he was the 8th head coach that has been relieved of his duties this offseason here. So there's going to be a bit of a carousel on the way here. I think there's going to be a lot of turnover coming, and maybe even more in the coming days as well. So with that being said, I mean, let's be clear here. I think we all can agree Granato isn't exactly the kind of guy that a contender is going to hire to help take him to the next level or get him across the finish line. However, that being said, I think that there is the potential for him to be a good coach for a rebuilding team. You know, some names that kind of come to mind, maybe a Chicago, maybe a Columbus potentially. We'll see what happens. You know, I think Anaheim maybe is a little bit past, or maybe even Anaheim potentially. I don't know. But do you see Granato having a future in this league as a head coach? And if so, can you think of any other teams that maybe would come to mind that he would be a good fit for?
I don't think it'd be a good idea to have him as a head coach, unless it's the exact situation we talked about, but the Sabres are pretty in a pretty rare bad situation at that point. I think when you're hiring someone, when you're really bad, you shouldn't be like, just immediately like, oh, hey, here's the guy we're going to fire in 3 years because he won't be ready to take us to the playoffs. I think you hope that someone's better than that. I would say that for any young team, especially, I would snap him up as an assistant in a second, and maybe any team in general, because there's always a good chance you'd want to work with young guys. There's always a good chance that you're going to have young guys on your roster. And in fact, maybe in an AHL level, AHL head coach, good, reliable guy that way. I don't know if he's going to want to be an AHL head coach. The Sabres owe him somewhere in the neighborhood of just under $4 million in the next couple of years. So maybe he just, at this point, he doesn't have to be, especially at his age. But if he wants to be, that's not bad. And I think what you'll ultimately see is him settle as an NHL assistant.
That makes sense. Yeah. I think it's just important to say, you know, you and I both, we were on him quite a bit this year. And don't get me wrong, understandably so. A lot of the issues this year were forced errors that could have been cleaned up, but just weren't. But overall, though, I don't think that I'm going to really look at Granato's tenure really in the same light as I would with most of the other coaches throughout the drought, because I don't know. He just struck me as a very good guy. You know, like, he was a good human, obviously had been through a lot with the health struggles and his cancer battle, but he was somebody that I think for a lot of reasons that the locker room really rallied around and believed in and supported. And I think that, you know, I look back at the time when he was hired initially and how fun it was initially with the Donnie Meatballs, you know, thing going around on Twitter. And it just felt like he really cared, and you could tell that he was obviously concerned about wins and losses, but just as much he was concerned about really helping these guys grow their game, grow as individuals and as human beings. And, you know, that's something that I think is a very valuable trait to have in a head coach, just somebody that, you know, you yourself can think of as just like a likable guy and just somebody that, you know, you can believe in and want to root for. And Granato was somebody that, for all of his faults, I think everybody really wanted to root for. It just didn't end up working out. And so, you know, while we certainly gave him plenty of licks this past year, I didn't want to take this opportunity to, you know, talk about him in a completely negative light, because even though he didn't, you know, get the job done, he didn't end up breaking the drought. This year was a massive disappointment. Overall, though, I think I'm going to look back fondly on Don Granato, the person, and not think of his tenure as some colossal disaster, even though it wasn't a success, if that makes sense. Like, he's just a good guy who just wasn't able to get it done. But, you know, I sure as hell am not going to view him in the same vein as Phil Housley or Ralph Krueger. That's for sure.
Well, absolutely. No doubt about it. He's the best since Ruff, which isn't saying a lot, but it's saying something. There were some people, especially people on Bills Twitter, trying to be like, hey, who should we compare this to as a Bills coach? And there isn't one, because the last Bills coach of the draw was Rex Ryan, and he was terrible. The closest Granato maybe is Wade Phillips. Maybe something like that. I mean, the timeline doesn't match up as well. It's totally opposite, but I don't think so. I think Wade Phillips is a better NFL coach than Granato is an NHL coach, but
yeah,
that is not really an answer. Because another thing that is kind of, I don't know how to put this, difficult to assess, maybe we could get more into this, is what exactly is the problem with Granato beyond just that? Was there a possibility that he was too nice and that things were too easy? When Casey Mittelstadt had a kind of telling quote about how hard practice was in Colorado, a lot of people were like, oh my God, the Sabres practice is too easy. But a lot of people, even people in the know, quote unquote, they seem to shoot that down and say, no, practice isn't a problem. Practice is actually better than it was under other coaches. This could just be taken out of context. I don't know. I think it's hard to say, but I think a lot of the quotes today were pretty telling.
Mm-hmm.
About accountability, about intensity, things like that from different players. And you can go
let's talk about that. Let's talk about locker room cleanout today. I know we have to talk about Adam's remarks too, and obviously our coaching replacement options, but I think that's a good transition because there were some interesting remarks from guys like Dahlin and Tuck and Thompson. And so I'm curious, you know, what were some of your main takeaways? What were some of the things that really jumped out at you that you felt were particularly notable from locker room cleanout?
Well, Tuck especially kind of getting into account. Tuck and Tage and Dahlin basically seem to all have similar thoughts on accountability and intensity and things like that and having to be better. And even I wish I had all the quotes in front of me. I believe Tage even mentioned about, you know, guys not being held accountable if they didn't, you know, guys that don't aren't playing to win, not being held accountable. And I don't want to get into speculation of who he's talking about or any of that, because that's just all it is, speculation. But overall, that's definitely an indictment. It's pretty clear what he means. There needs to be more. It kind of seems like they all want a harder-nosed coach. It makes me think that Lindy or Berube is potentially likely coming up. But, you know, and that's what I'm really torn on, actually, going into this coaching search, because it's a weird thing where there's so many guys, so many people out there say things like, this team needs a tough leader, this team needs, you know, blah, blah, blah. But all that's useless if they're just as bad strategically as Renato. You need an upgrade in that department too. But I guess there's obviously another issue here when it comes to, as they mentioned, accountability. Maybe a tough coach is good for them. That tough coach also has to be a good coach in these situations. It makes me think, not that I want to get into all the options today. I'm sure we'll have plenty of time for that. But, you know, like a guy like Lindy, maybe that's not such a bad idea. There's always going to be good and bad when you have to try to squint at guys. When you hire him, you're going to try to paint – you're going to convince yourself of the good. There's very, very rarely a time when you hire a coach and you're like, oh, my God, I can't believe we hired this guy. I think in this situation, there's going to be going either way. You could be – there's the easy way to see, like, Bruce Boudreau be great in these situations. Bruce Boudreau could turn the Sabres into a 100-point team overnight without that many changes. And there will be changes. But I get that. And on the other hand, there's going to be guys that are like, maybe this team just needs accountability. And I think there's something to that, because there's something to the fact that they were, you know, every time they got close, they came out and got completely embarrassed. All four times this year, they were within 4 points of a playoff spot. It was not too dissimilar to last year. Last year, they had 91 points, partially because they were so good after it was totally unlikely for them to make the playoffs. They finished here like, I don't remember exactly what it was, but they won all the games after they were eliminated, and they won a bunch of games when it was like, basically, you know, you can't, you more or less can't win or get to the playoffs. So I don't know. I think, yeah. But anyway, what do you think, Brendan?
Yeah. Accountability really seemed to be the main takeaway today. You know, Alex Tuck Tage both had mentioned it. Tuck's comment in particular. I believe Lance had tweeted it out earlier. Let me go find it really quick. But he had said that the Sabres need and are ready for a coach who pushes them. And the exact quote was, our next coach will be one that holds us accountable and one that makes sure that we're performing to our best, or you're not going to perform at all. And I think that absolutely speaks to the point that you're making there, Taylor. And I think that I don't think anybody was trying to inadvertently make any kind of a side swipe at Granato or anything like that, because we know that he was really respected in the room. And as we talked about last episode, it feels like there's a certain level of accountability that the players feel right now that Granato no longer has a job. So I think it's good. I mean, I think that's really what they need. We've been saying for months here that the next head coach of the Sabres needs to be somebody who has NHL experience, who has shown that they are able to weather the storm of an 82 game season, to keep morale afloat throughout the year, to be able to navigate the highs and lows, the tough times of the year when things get rough in January and February, right before like the home stretch of the season. You need somebody who's going to be able to guide you through that, and also who is tactically sound enough that is going to be able to make the adjustments that Granato ultimately was really never able to make with this team. So while I think that, you know, this year 100% should be looked at as a supreme disappointment, especially considering the fact that it felt like for the last 2 months, none of the teams who were in the wild card race actually really wanted it. Like, if there was ever a year that the Sabres could have gone out and stole a playoff spot, it would have been this year. And it, I think, just lends even further to the embarrassment that this has now reached 13 seasons in a row when you're capping off this drought, or you're, I should say, you're continuing this drought in a year where it was just so there for the taking. But with that being said, though, I think between some of the remarks we heard today, but really I'm not reading into it too far, because Adams, by and large, I think has been pretty good when it comes to press conferences and saying the right thing. And let's be real, it is about action. But I kind of felt like there was a little bit of a different tone with Kevin Adams yesterday. And I think it's important to say that, again, these dudes do not deserve the benefit of the doubt. Kevin Adams does not deserve the benefit of the doubt whatsoever. But we have spent the past 8 months talking about this hockey team twice a week. We've been negative enough as it is. And so if there's any places as we go into this offseason that is just so, so pivotal that we can try and find a little bit of a positive, I think that it's important for all of our sanity collectively to do that. And I got to say, I walked away from Kevin Adams' presser yesterday feeling pretty good. I was pretty happy about the fact that they had fired Granato in the first place. I think there was definitely a question of it, especially when on Monday night we hear the report from Sabres PR that Granato and Adams were going to speak to the media on Friday, which was weird that had come out in the first place when they knew they were going to fire him the next day. But I digress. But it was good that they'd made this move. It shows that they have standards. It shows that, you know, after dropping 7 points in the standings, points overall, I should say, that you realize that you took a step back. There were a lot of issues that you absolutely rightfully could blame on the coach, and realizing that the move was to move on and to find somebody that's going to be able to take this team to a place where Granato was really never able to. And so with Adams yesterday, he had very much acknowledged and throughout reinforced the idea that they want to have somebody who is a proven NHL head coach who has that experience. And Adams made it seem like he knows exactly what he wants and the kind of guy or guys that he's really looking to target. So give me your thoughts, Taylor, before we get into some of the candidates itself. Tell me what you thought about Kevin Adams' press conference yesterday after it was announced that Don Granato got fired. Did you feel similar? Because I know this, I think, was a sentiment that was shared, you know, throughout a lot of people on social media that was like, okay, we know, you know, talk is cheap. We need to see the actions, but this is what he needs to be saying right now.
Yeah, I feel pretty good about things. If he's telling the truth that he has a plan and he knows what he wants to do, who he wants to target, and he said there's going to be big changes in the offseason, that's good, because the biggest critique you can have of Kevin Adams is that he hasn't done enough. It's not like he made dumb moves or he has some dumb philosophy or this or that. It's just that sometimes he isn't active, wants to rely too much on what they have, or wants to take this rebuild too slow, in my opinion. So to me, that it was great to hear all that. And it was great to have some kind of seeming clarity on the coach so far. So I was thrilled with the press conference.
I'm kind of curious also your thoughts on, you know, we're talking about this, like, oh, he needs to do it in terms of like, oh, you got to break the drought, you know, 13 years and you took a step back this year. But I also think it's important for us to acknowledge the added pressure that's there now. This is going to be Kevin Adams' second head coach hire. And teams that don't make the playoffs, GMs, they don't get really more than those two opportunities to do so. So not only is this hire pivotal, but this offseason is pivotal. And I guess I'm wondering, to what degree do you feel confident that Kevin Adams is going to be aggressive in improving the roster this offseason because of the fact that he very much is on the hot seat? I mean, can you really afford to have five straight seasons as a GM without a playoff appearance and keep a job?
Yeah, absolutely not. No, he'd be done 100% if they don't make the playoffs next year. At least I'm pretty sure he would be. So I know he knows how big this season is and how pivotal it is for sure. There's no way around it.
Let's keep this conversation going. But first, do we want to maybe hear a word from our sponsors?
Sure. We know hockey games move fast, but with DraftKings Sportsbook, an official sports betting partner of the NHL, you can score faster than anything happening on the ice. This week, new customers can bet $5 and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. So, for example, the NHL playoffs are coming up, folks. Saturday. I believe at least two games, so maybe as many four games on Saturday. That's the way it usually is, so let's just say four games on Saturday. So, you want to bet on any of those games, whether it's, you know, over-under, money line, puck line, player prop bets, whatever you want to do. The only place to do it is DraftKings Sportsbook. Download the app now with code THPN. New customers can bet $5 on the NHL and get $200 instantly in bonus bets. Only on DraftKings Sportsbook with code THPN. The crown is yours. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER or visit www.1800gambler.net. In New York, call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY 467-369. In Connecticut, help is available for problem gambling. Call 888-789-7777 or visit ccpg.org. Please play responsibly. On behalf of Boot Hill Casino and Resort in Kansas, 21 plus, age varies by jurisdiction, void in Ontario. Bonus bets expire 168 hours after issuance. See dkng.com/hockey for eligibility, deposit restrictions, terms, and responsible gaming resources. NHL and the NHL Shield are registered trademarks of the National Hockey League. Copyright NHL 2024, all rights reserved.
We're back.
Yep.
Taylor, let's talk coaches. Mm-hmm. So, Sabres have a head coaching vacancy now. Seemingly, the entire bench is going to need to get replaced. Inexplicably, it wasn't really explained publicly anywhere, but Matt Ellis, Don Bales, and I want to say there was somebody else on the coaching staff, Marty Wilford, technically are still on the staff. I believe what has been thrown around is that their contracts are up, so it wasn't necessary for them to necessarily terminate them, but you would have to think whoever comes in and is going to hire a staff of their own completely. And there's no shortage of options out there, Taylor. There's a lot of pretty good candidates right now that the Sabres can look to. Now, let's be real. I think it's important when we talk about this head coaching search that none of these candidates are perfect. There is no head coaching candidate, regardless of what team you are or what your situation is or the guy that you like, the style you want to play, there is nobody that is without their flaws. That being said, though, there are a lot of guys out there that fit the bill of what Kevin Adams had talked about at his press conference, what you and I have been talking about for the last several months, of this proven winner, you know, NHL experience, success, longevity, all that. We have a lot of options here, Taylor. There's a lot of obvious names. Lindy Ruff, of course, being atop the list. Of some of the obvious ones, the hot button names that have been thrown out there, some of the ones that we're maybe not as excited about being like Seth Appert, for example, just doing an internal promotion from Rochester. I think that's something that we're both pretty against, and we can kind of get into that. But then you also look around the league and some of the other coaches. The big one, I think, that everybody's kind of waiting to hear about right now is Mike Sullivan in Pittsburgh. Pittsburgh, of course, not making the playoffs for the second consecutive season. I don't believe they've won a playoff series since 2018. So is it time maybe that Pittsburgh is ready to move on from Mike Sullivan? You look at Alex Tuch's former coach, Gerard Gallant. That's a possibility. Craig Berube's name has been thrown around. Jay Woodcroft has been thrown around. There's a lot of options out there right now, Taylor. So Give me your perspective on the search right now. You know, who do you like? Who do you not like? Let's kind of go through all of these guys a bit here. What do you think?
Well, I'll start with this. First of all, I think Matt Ellis is actually staying in the organization. I don't think he's getting fired. I think Adams mentioned that during the press conference that he might be going to a different role, but
different role. Yeah.
Correct. As far as the actual guys who are available as coaches. All right. He mentioned experience. So I'm going to take Appert and, you know, any of the guys who are assistant coaches.
The Denver head coach. Yeah.
All done. So anyone who's been a head coach before. So I'll start with, like, you know, guys who've been talked about. Gerard Gallant. To me, Gerard Gallant is the epitome of, like, oh, well, there's good things and bad things about anyone you can hire. Gallant's it, because you can look at Gallant having success everywhere he's been for a short while. He's never been anywhere more than 3 years. On the other hand, he was pretty unceremoniously fired at all three stops, not at a time when you would normally fire a hockey coach for on-ice results. Makes me think there's something else there, but he's also a tough guy. Maybe that's it. He's a Jose Mourinho type for guys that like soccer. He's in there. He's tough. He gets some success, obviously not as much success as Jose Mourinho, but whatever length he's there, it works out for a little while, and then he has to go. That's not the worst thing in the world. But there's other guys I would like better. For example, I'll just put this one in the middle, Jay Woodcroft. Jay Woodcroft came into Edmonton, and yes, their roster improved when he was there from the McClellan era. However, they got a lot better. This is the first time Edmonton played good team hockey, not just, hey, Connor McDavid, score. And he basically only got fired because their percentages were just, like, insanely bad to start the year. There's nothing else to call that but luck, in my opinion. They were taking significantly more shots, getting more attempts, better expected goals, everything. The puck just wasn't going in the net, and they couldn't keep the puck out of their net, which leads to losing a lot. And in a situation like that, with expectations as high as they are for the Oilers, you have to fire them. But I think there's still a lot to like there, especially with, you know, hopefully the Sabres power play improving. I don't keep saying the Penguins. It's because the guy I'm going to get to next. The Oilers power play was historically good last year. It was good again this year. I mean, it's going to be good with that talent, but, like, I think the Sabres could use a guy of mine like that. The two guys who I don't know if they're going to be available, one, Rob Brind'Amour. I don't know. I'm torn on if he's going to be available or not. It's possible still. However, if he is, I don't see the Sabres paying. So I'm not even really that concerned about it. Yeah, he'd be great. No doubt about it. The other guy who may or may not be available, Sullivan. Penguin season is not over, but they're not going to make the playoffs. They haven't fired him yet. There's been no announcements. There's not that much rumbling yet. So by the time you listen to this, it might be different. He might be fired, but he hasn't been fired yet. So if he's around, I'd like him. There's all the positives in the world. He won two cups. He was such an immediate improvement over their last coach. They've played good offensive hockey for years. Until this year, had a great power play. The problem, if there's any kind of problem, is that they missed the playoffs 2 years in a row with, I guess, somewhat talented rosters, and all the old guys in their team have still been pretty good and healthy. But I think it's been, what, like 5-6 years since they won a playoff round? They won those two cups his first year. They lost in the second round his
Six
third
years.
Year.
2018.
And then they haven't won a round. And some of that's luck because they had good regular season teams that lost in the playoffs. But some of it is just that's a long time to not win a playoff series with all these talented guys. There's something there. And then, you know, the man of the hour, everyone's talking about him, Lindy Ruff. I am one of the few people that thinks this is not a great or terrible idea. The nostalgia thing is, it's not irrelevant to me, but it might as well be. Just looking at it from a purely hockey perspective, it's not a bad move. He's tough. It seems like they want a guy that's going to hold guys more accountable. He has had a lot of success in his career, and as recently as last season, he had a great offensive team that was under him. Obviously, caveat there, Andrew Brunette was involved, who seemingly might be the best offensive coach in the NHL based on his last three stops. But, yeah, just in general, New Jersey, the reason they lost this year or they got way worse this year, I don't think was because of Ruff necessarily. I think it's because they couldn't buy a save, and that'll just doom any coach. But, it should be said, he's only made the playoffs three of his last eight seasons coached. He's missed it more than he's made it in, I think, since 2001. He's missed more than he's made. But, you know, he has a ton of experience. He's one of the all-time leading coaching all-time leaders in coaching wins. And he's a great coach. There's no way around it. He's tough on certain guys. We saw that with Vanek, Alexander Holtz this year. They saw it, and you've seen it everywhere he's gone. It can be really, really tough on guys. And we all remember the Lindy's doghouse thing, but you also might remember that they were really good for a couple of years. And that in 2012, you know, when, even when they got to, you know, 2011, he led to a big turnaround that season. They made the playoffs. In 2012, almost did the same thing with a very flawed roster. And then, in, you know, in Dallas, he won the highest scoring team in the league. In New Jersey, he won last year, not the highest scoring team, but one of the higher scoring teams. There's still a lot to like. There's obviously, there's some problems too. So no, none of these guys are perfect is what I'm getting at. I don't know. Is there anyone else you want to throw out there, or do you feel differently about any of those guys?
I mean, we didn't mention Bruce. I think he's probably near or at the top of both of our lists. I don't think you mentioned Bruce Boudreau at all, but
how did I forget?
I think you have to have him in the conversation. I feel like I'm going crazy sometimes the way that people are just so dismissive of him as an option. I mean, the guy has a demonstrated history of success in this league, Taylor. He has only finished below 500 once in his coaching career, and it was last year in Vancouver. We had talked about that previously, too, that we felt like he was dealt a pretty unfair hand with how things unfolded in Vancouver. Rick Tocchet ends up taking over for him, and of course, Vancouver had a great year this year, but there's a lot of things that were in play there as to why he didn't have success there. That being said, though, whether you look at Washington, Anaheim, or Minnesota, he was able to lead those teams to regular season success, get them in the playoffs. Are there questions about his ability to coach in the playoffs and really get a team past the finish line? 100%. I think that's very fair, but I think right now the main objective is just getting there in the first place. And Boudreau is a guy that I think can really get you there. I think he's going to be able to, he would be able to bring the best out of your star players, your skill players, and I think can create a style of play for this team that was reminiscent of the success that they saw last year with their high-powered, high-flying offense. Otherwise, though, I think you pretty much nailed everybody. Yeah, I mean, Brind'Amour, look, that dude is understandably, I think, for a lot of Sabres fans, like, on the public enemy watch list, but he is a good coach. And you can say what you want about Carolina's style and you know, how they are just like, they just suppress offense like crazy. Like, you look at a stat line for Kochetkov or Freddie Anderson over the last couple of years, I would say probably damn near a majority of those games, those guys have 20 saves or fewer, and they're picking up wins in these games. They're winning games, you know, 3-1, 4-2. And I think that isn't something that anybody can really stick their nose up at. I think that Brind'Amour fits the bill. There's, of course, the connections with Adams, as they used to be teammates. But when it comes to the practicality of that, I just don't really see it. I can't envision. I know you mentioned like the price tag, but I can't even envision Carolina letting him walk. I mean, you've had consistent success under this guy. And I think Carolina is one of the teams that can very fairly ask, you know, it's not about just like firing a guy for the sake of firing him and moving on. It's looking at the pool out there and asking yourself, can we find somebody better than what we have right now? Because ultimately that should be the reason that you fire a coach. You feel like you can do better. And I think it's a testament to Brind'Amour that you can look at this entire pool of coaches out there right now. And I think it's a fair question to ask, like, is there actually an upgrade out there to be had for Carolina? Now, maybe you do just need somebody with like a change of scenery. That's very much a possibility. You can have somebody that just needs to give a fresh perspective to a group and then helps unlock something that wasn't there before. But Brind'Amour's track record and reputation speaks for itself. Mike Sullivan, you know, I like the idea of it. I think it makes a lot of sense, and I certainly wouldn't be upset if that's the direction that they go when you look at the history of success there. But there is a lot to wonder about, like we had talked about. 6 years since the last playoff series win. And, you know, we can say now with how they stand, where things stand, you know, Crosby and Malkin and Letang are older and everything, but they still have been playing at a pretty high level. And if you go back 6 years, they were playing at a pretty high level then too, and throughout this time. So I have a little bit of pause when it comes to Sullivan. Again, I wouldn't be mad if they hired him, but I don't think he's my first choice necessarily. Craig Berube is another guy that's been thrown around a lot. Of course, he was behind the bench when the Blues went on that crazy run and ended up winning the cup. And then I believe made it to the playoffs the 4 years after that as well, until 2023 when he was eventually fired. I think, again, that's another guy that fits the bill. Probably isn't the top of my list, but I think it wouldn't be the worst thing. Todd McClellan, I feel like, is another name that maybe we can even toss out there as a possibility. You know, when you're looking at a coach that has the experience and background that you're looking for. I believe before the Sabres hired Ralph Kruger, he was also interviewed, if I'm not mistaken. So there is a little bit of a familiarity and an interest there. And yeah, I mean, and then it brings you back to Lindy, man. You know, I understand people. I think that you bring up a great point that a lot of people just kind of are jumping right to, oh no, you just want him because of nostalgia. You just want him because of nostalgia and the feel good. And while I do think there's more to it than that, I think it's also very important to keep in mind, not that this in any way, shape, or form should be a reflection of what this team is thinking about right now as they're going through their coaching search, but we talked about a few weeks ago the danger that this team was in when it comes to next season and getting fans to come out. And if you mean to tell me that to open the 24-25 season after conceivably Adams makes a big swing or two, that behind the bench is going to be Lindy Ruff, you want to get some asses in seats? It's a damn good way to do it. Not saying that that should be the be-all end-all by any stretch of the imagination, but it's something that I think at least should be acknowledged. And yeah, I'm with you. You know, I think it has been really Lindy's big drawback is what you mentioned, the doghouse there. You know, I don't think that Alexander Holtz is going to be a 50-goal scorer, but there is potential there. He's a recent first-round pick, and I don't think anybody really loved the way that Lindy had handled that situation. Same could be said with Vanek. It's happened at every stop that he, you know, it was the same thing in Dallas and Buffalo. There was various guys that I feel like had gotten into his doghouse. And admittedly, I don't love that. I don't love when a coach kind of has that trait, even though I think all coaches kind of to varying degrees do, but I just don't like how evident it is with Lindy. That being said, though, when we're talking about accountability, when we're talking about somebody that has had success at just about every stop. And I think when it comes to Lindy, a lot of people will look at him as kind of this like old school head coach, which is fair. And I think that there's maybe some credibility to that. It can't be ignored. Jack Hughes broke out in a big way last year and the Devils were fantastic. 112 points. 683 points percentage last year. It was a damn good year. You know, Nico Hischier, again, he had a huge year. Jesper Bratt flourished under Lindy. Dougie Hamilton, when he's been healthy. I just think that, and then even you go to Dallas too, like you had mentioned, with how high powered that offense was. I mean, you know, they were above 500 and kind of middling his first 2 years there. They sneak into the playoffs. They make it to the second round, or actually no, they end up getting bounced in the first round in his first year in Dallas in 13-14. And then again, they have just about the same record. Actually, the following year, they go from 91 points to 92 points, but they don't end up making the playoffs. And then 15-16, 50-23-9 for 109 points, end up winning up a round in the playoffs, played 13 games in the playoffs too. So they almost got through to the second round as well. And he's been able to maximize guys, you know, when it was in Dallas, we were talking, it's Sagan and Ben. When it is, you know, in New Jersey, we talked about the guys there and we know his background in Buffalo. Like, sure. Is he a little bit old school? Can he be defensive minded at times? Sure. Absolutely. But like, he also, when you give him star players and like skill players like that. He knows how to use them. He knows how to use the chess pieces and how to maximize these guys. And yeah, I mean, listen, I have no shame in saying it. I love Lindy Ruff. Is there a sentimental value that is coming into play when I'm thinking about him as the head coach of this team? Absolutely. I don't give a shit. I don't need to sit here and say that I'm being 100% objective about it. It would be a great story. It would be really cool. And even though there are things that I'm worried about, it would get me pretty fired up. And I think it would get a lot of fans pretty fired up as well. And the players for that matter too. So yeah, I don't know. I think it's interesting. Is Lindy my number one choice? No. Is he firmly in my top three, though? Yes, I would say so. So with that being said, Taylor, now that we both have kind of gone through, give me your top three options.
Okay, so if everyone that I think is going to be available is available, I'm not going to include Sullivan or Brind'Amour yet. I'm going to go 3 Woodcroft, 2 Lindy, 1 Bruce Boudreau. And I'm just realizing now, have we mentioned Craig Berube?
I did mention Craig Berube,
yes. Okay, that's right, yeah. I did not include him in mine. He's basically on the level of Gallant for me. Wouldn't be mad, wouldn't be thrilled.
That's definitely fair. I would say my top three, I think three for me is probably a tie between, well, actually it's tough because I think it would be probably more so, I don't know. I don't think Brind'Amour and Sullivan are in the same conversation, because if Brind'Amour is in there, then I think it's a completely different approach than if Sullivan is in there, where it's like, ah, this is okay. Yeah. Where if we know Brind'Amour is going to be available, it's like, get the job done, get this guy. So for mine, I will go with, in third, I'm going to say I'll go a two-way tie between Berube and Gallant. Not that I don't like Woodcroft, I do think it would be a potentially good option. I just do have some questions about the fit. He of course did have his success in Edmonton last year. McDavid had a career year under him. Drysdale was great. But those guys also are just great. You know, McDavid scored 130 points this year and he had a slow start to the year. Like, those are just two dynamite star players there. I don't think Woodcroft would be a bad option necessarily, but I kind of view him in a similar light to how you described Berube and Gallant there. So I'm going to go with Berube and Gallant. I think for my number three, Gallant, he has the pedigree, man. I mean, we know about the success with the Golden Knights. There was success with the Rangers with a couple of 100-point seasons and a trip to the Eastern Conference Finals. If the results are there, that's what I care about. Like, it's not the same thing, but it's, you know, as we've talked about recently, like why the argument for Torts, like I never would have thought that I would have been like, wow, the Sabres could use a guy like this. But like, listen, at this point, if you get results, then it has to be on the table. And so that's really why I think Gallant makes sense for me. Same with Berube for a similar reason. You have the success with St. Louis. Second and first are the same. Lindy is number two for me. You and I have been saying Bruce Boudreau, I think, since like pretty much since he got fired, since Ralph Kruger was terrible. I mean, even I feel like before, he was just somebody that I think made a lot of sense. I just think that he is exactly the kind of guy that this team needs. And sure, is he on the older side? Yes, but the history of success is there. The profile of teams that he's coached and been able to maximize is in line with the Sabres. And I think that he also is just like a really fun personality too. And I think that he's somebody also that the guys would really rally around and bond with. So that's my top three, Taylor. That's mine. But I think would you agree with me though, that if Brind'Amour was available, he would be number one?
Yeah, they're just not going to pay him. So, yeah.
True. True. Crazy stuff. What else you got?
Nothing. Yeah, nothing.
Nothing. Nothing, nothing. All right. Well, playoffs are going to be getting underway soon, so that'll be exciting for us to talk about that. Maybe on our next episode, we will be able to dive in a little bit into some of the playoff matchups, which actually we could talk about right now because of the fact that we, I believe, are not going to be having a Monday episode due to some travel.
We're going to have a Tuesday episode.
Oh, we're doing a Tuesday episode. That's right.
Yeah.
We're not having a Monday episode because we're putting it out on Tuesday. That is correct. So we'll be able to talk a little bit about playoffs there. The matchups are just about set right now. Pretty exciting, huh?
The West is, at least.
True. Who do you want to win? Who do you got coming out of either conference?
Oh, man. No one out of the East, if that's fine with you. I still kind of believe in Dallas in the West. The East, honestly, it's very strange. It's really hard to go back-to-back, but, I mean, Tampa did it three times, so whatever. Just say Florida. Dallas, Florida. Another warm weather cup.
I can get down with that. I'm going to put a little bit more thought in because I do want to get a little outside the box. But in the East, I feel pretty good about it being Florida. I think that they're ready to do it. They had a great year this year. I think if Sam Reinhart is able to stay hot to the degree that he is, Matthew Tkachuk is able to play how he played in the second half of the season, and if Barkov is Barkov, they're going to be able to get there because they also have the benefit of Boston and Toronto going at it in the first round, which I think that is going to be it's going to be a bruiser of a series, it seems like.
Definitely.
And then, yeah, in the West, you know, I like Dallas too. This could be the year for them. Maybe Colorado is able to do it just because of the fact that they've been there before. McKinnon is a psycho. I think there's a real possibility there. Who knows? Is this going to be the year that McDavid is able to do it? He's able to get over the hump. Vancouver had a really hot start, kind of tapered a little bit, then came on strong again. Are they for real? I don't know. And then Vegas, Mark Stone coming back. Hurdle is back. Could be a pretty dangerous team. So it's going to be really interesting. I'm excited for it, though. Any last thoughts, Taylor?
Nope.
Well, my last thought is, again, as a reminder, I mentioned it on our last episode, but this coming Sunday is the concert for Jen. It's a benefit concert in honor of my late sister who had passed away in November of 2022. It's taking place at Town Ballroom. You can get your tickets online at townballroom.com. Proceeds from the event are going to be supporting Recovery Options Made Easy's Respite and Recovery Center in East Buffalo. So it's going to a great cause. There's going to be autographed memorabilia from the Sabres and Bills, baskets from local businesses, restaurants. There is also a big prize at the end of this all, which is going to be a weekend getaway at a beautiful Airbnb on Seneca Lake. And then on top of that, you get a day's worth of great music and comedy. So again, the concert for Jen at Town Ballroom Sunday from 12 to 6 p.m. Get your tickets online at townballroom.com now. I would really, really appreciate it if you guys could make it out. It would mean the world to me. And with that being said, though, everybody, this has been another episode of Straight Up Sabres presented by the Hockey Podcast Network and the Charging Buffalo. Make sure you're checking out both the presenters of this podcast on their respective websites, whatever streaming platform you're currently using to listen to this episode. Make sure you're checking out all of our fellow shows and make sure you're following both the Hockey Podcast Network and the Charging Buffalo on social media, Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram, where you can also find us, Straight Up Sabres. And before you close out of this app, whatever it is you're using to listen to this episode, make sure you're either following or subscribe to us, and we would really appreciate it if you'd leave us a nice little rating or review. Last but not least, we have our wonderful, wonderful sponsor, folks. That is DraftKings Sportsbook. Use the promo code THPN at checkout to take advantage of great deals. We will be back with a brand new episode on Tuesday, everybody. Have a great weekend. This has been Straight Up Sabres. Sitting on the bedroom floor.